Buenos días. Good morning. ¿Quién habla español aquí? Who speaks Spanish? ¿Poquito? ¿Poquito? Yeah, the most important is that God is universal and he is speaking Portuguese, Spanish, and English. This is awesome. First, I present myself. I'm Wilson David Silva Garcia. I'm from Bogota, Colombia. I'm 22 years old. It's my pleasure to be here with you. I want to share something very interesting for God. Today, the class is called Overcoming Giants. Who has not had a giant? And I mean giants like tests or difficult in our lives. The greatest man on the earth, he have giants. And I'm not talking about Goliath, I'm talking about Jesus. And he showed in the New Testament how he overcome these giants. Today we're talking about a good example of a showman like me. We go to 1 of Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. So let's go there. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philippians gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belonged to Judah, and it came between Soko and Azekah in Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in the line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze in his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The chaff of his spear was like a weather beam, and his spear had weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "What have you come out to do for the battle? I'm not a Philistine, and are you not Solomon of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servant and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we all may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Okay, so first we saw the giant. Big, impossible, like 4 times my size. And sometimes if we look with the eyes of the world, we can see like it's impossible for me. With my strength, I cannot fight this giant. It's impossible. And the Bible says that they give a power of a spirit power. No, he don't give us a holy spirit. So let's continue in chapter 17, but 20. Let's go to 20. So, 19, verse 19. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the chief with the keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and ran and greeted his brothers. As he talking with them, beyond the champion, the Philistine of God, Goliath by name, came up to the ranks of the Philistine and spoke the same words as before, and David heard. So we can see that David was working. In the difficult come when we less expect them. We can say working, we can say good with our family. And the Bible says that we will have difficulties in our lives, but the most important is to be prepared with God for these difficulties. Let's continue to verse 24. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were not afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David said to the man who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who killed the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For he is this uncircumcised Philistine that he shall defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, where have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? What is more but a war? And he turned away from him toward another, and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him against as before. So when we have difficulties, a lot of people in the world, they can say no, you cannot, it's too much work. But if we fight with God, we can understand the importance of the power of God, because God create everything. He's amazing, and he loved you, and he loved me, because he gave Jesus for our lives. So if we trust in this, we cannot think like the person in the world, because we are with God. And if we are with God, we can overcome Goliath and other giants. It doesn't matter. Let's go to continue to the chapter. Verse 24. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if He arose again, and I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down bad lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will be delivering me from the hands of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Okay, so we can see that David remembers his victories. It's important for us to remember our victories. We have a lot of victories with God. And we can thinking about the victories of our brothers too, because they can give us a strong and we can remember that God is with us. I remember one time I was in a review here. This happened like in January. I was taking a test with my teacher of grammar, I think, and the test was crossword. And I didn't have idea the answer. And I was like, oh God, please help me. And all of my other partners, they gone. They finished the test. And I was alone with the teacher, and I said, I don't have opportunity to be a good math. So I was waiting. Then one person in the hallway said, help me, please. And the teacher go out of the room. And I was alone in the room. And I was normally when the paper of the answer was in the desk of the teacher. And I say, this is my opportunity. So I thinking, but I say, no, David, you cannot do this. I remember Psalm first Psalm, blessed is the one who does not walk in the street with the wicked. So I said, no, I stayed. I was thinking, and I don't get the answer. When the teacher come back, she looked my paper and she say, this guy didn't finish well. And she said, you could cheat and you didn't do it. Oh, sorry. You could cheat and you didn't do it. Or price, I will put you at 8 not. So she gave me an 8 because she know that I could cheat and I didn't. So I said, thank you, God. So we have a lot of victories in our lives. With God, with our family, with disease, we can remember like David. David remember when he fight the lion, we fight the bears, and he won because he was with God and we are with God. Okay, so let's continue to verse 38. Okay, say the Bible. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with this, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff and his hand and closed five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd bush. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. So this is interesting, because when Saul gives you the armor, David was a cheaper. He don't know about the army and the other stuff, but When we have difficulties, when we have giants, we cannot fight it with our strength, with our strength. We can fight with the strength of God. He trusts in God. And what is our army? This is my sword. This is my sword. And I know that if we're fighting with this, maybe we cannot run in this world, but we can run in the eternal life. And this is the most important for everybody. Let's continue to chapter 40, verse 41. The Bible said, "And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a young, ruddy, and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with a stick?' And the Philistine cursed David, but his dog. The Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give you flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field.' Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saved, not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands.' When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward to the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slew it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank in his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him." So David trusts in God because he knows God. And if we can trust in God, we need to know more God. We need to read our Bible, speak with God, pass more time with God, because we have the Holy Spirit and he's working right now. He's working in you, in me, in everybody. So if we trust in him, it's because we know him. And it's important that David take 5 stones. He don't take 1. He take 5. Because he know that he need to be prepared. We need to be ready for the giant. Because maybe we can fall or something like that. So humanly, we cannot beat the giants. Humanly, David could not beat his giant, who was Goliath. Then what made the difference was God. God was with him, and I take care of him. God was the one who allowed the strengthen him, and he did things for God. So, my brothers, overcoming our giants with God. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus, because without him, we are nothing. Thank you for your Bible, for your words. Thank you for Kevin, for the church, my Father. Help us to be more like Jesus, to trust in you, to know more about you, overcoming our giants, but not with our strength. With your strength, my Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray all of this. Amen. Thank you.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God.
Let's Psalm 145, number 10 to 18. So say, all your words praise you, Lord, your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The fulfills the desire. Oh, that's it. Thank you.
Good morning. All right. So today my message is going to be on don't waste it. It's basically not wasting the opportunities God's given you and the love that he shows you. So for my first point is don't waste God's love. And I get this from Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living soul. You see, God's first gift to us was life itself. And he created everything by speaking existence into it. But in order to prove that he loved us, he wanted to set us apart by doing it a different way. He didn't want to speak us into existence, and it clearly says he formed us out of the soil. So just think about how awesome it is to knowing that our God just reached down with his own hands and formed us a body with his own hands. Right now you are living, your soul is living in his creation. And then he also shows his love in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, I don't think that if God didn't love us, he wouldn't give his only Son. His Son was a living sacrifice to us so that we might live in harmony and peace forever with him. And God's love is what we should strive to know about and spread to those who don't know him. Because without him, the others, they're lost. And it's hard to say, being up in heaven, just witnessing them go to hell and say, I could have helped this person. And my second point is, don't waste God's time. Now, as we're taught, God is not confined in the space of time. But instead, he is always and has been. And now you are asking, what does that mean? Well, it means that he's always there. He's always watching, and he's going to be there no matter what you're doing. Yeah, he has been there, he is there, and he always will be there for you. But already, God spends all his time. Well, like I said, he is not confined in time, but this is our understanding of time. With us, he wants to get to know us. Well, you're saying, he already knows all about me. There's nothing more he could know. That is true, but he wants to be like us. He doesn't want to say, look, I know you've done this. I know you've done that. He wants us to be willing to come to him and say, look, even though I know what you did, I still want you to be able to talk to me. Now, God didn't have to create us, but why did he? It's because he wants to prove his love to someone. He doesn't want to keep all this love for himself. You're also probably saying, well, why do we sin? Why couldn't he have just made it to where we just have to be perfect like he is? Why couldn't we make it to where he just makes everybody love him? Well, he could, but that's not an absolute, that's not a true love towards God. And he wants that love just honest, straightforward, directed towards him. And my third point, my final point, don't waste God's faithfulness. In Psalm 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. God has many names, one of which is Jehovah Rapha, which means healer, the Lord who heals us. And to me, it speaks volumes, because without him, what would we do? How could we be healed for our sins? Without him, it would be impossible to get to heaven. Without him, we would already be in hell. Ever since God created everything, he's been faithful to us. He has sent people to lead us to him for his glory, and now he wants us to do the same which people have done for us. God does all he can to have us come to know him, but he will never, and I mean never, force us to know him, because it wouldn't be true love if he did. We know him as our Savior, which is the biggest blessing I could ever ask for. I mean, without him, I would be in hell. Without knowing him, I would basically just be dead already. God does all he can to have us come to know him, but he created us with the free will because he, like I said before, he wants that true and perfect love directed towards him and other people. Without him, nothing was possible. He wants us to choose to come to know him and love him, because if we choose by our own free will, it is not a true love towards God. Thank you.
Let's stand for the song before communion. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus.
Tell you, after the things we've been hearing about and talking about and singing about today, it's hard to think about anything other than the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. It's interesting though, in my studies lately, the subject of grief has been coming up a lot. Things to do with grief counseling, the grieving process in general, and even the difference between grieving and mourning. It's been an interesting thing to learn a little bit more about. You know, obviously we grieve when we lose people that we love. We also grieve things that don't necessarily have to do with death. We grieve when those giants, those big obstacles in our lives come along and we don't know what we can do. We grieve about the circumstances that we find ourselves in. There are a lot of things that cause us grief, and I think nothing more so than sin. But there's one thing that we do not have to grieve about, and that is our eternal souls, because we serve a risen Savior. We don't follow the teachings of a man who lived and died thousands of years ago. We follow the teachings and the life of a man who lived and died and lives again. Amen. And it's because of him that we can gather here today with hope. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we have a victory in you. We are grateful that we don't have to look forward with despair or doubt. We're grateful that when we look forward, all we see is you and the hope that you give us. As we break this bread that commemorates your body, which was sacrificed for us, we pray that we would remember that it wasn't a vain sacrifice, that it was for us, and that it carries meaning for us every day. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.